Our last message, last time we were here on a Sunday morning, which was the week after snow camp, if you can believe it, this is now week three after us being back from snow camp. Yeah, snow camp was a month ago, which is wild.
No.
Pretty much, yeah. We were at camp three Sundays ago, four Sundays including today. Wild, right? Time just be going. So our last message on February 28th was about the following, okay? So snow camp's theme obviously being built different. You should embrace the way that God has made you and walk into it in your future so that using the creation that God has left in you, you can honor God and glorify God in the way that He has made fit for your life. And pursuing the perfect will of God for your life tends to involve the specific ways in which He's made you. So if you're an extrovert, you're probably not going to be much of an accountant, right? If you are terrible with numbers, guess what? The Lord knew that when He made you. And whatever's in front of you probably doesn't involve calculus, right? And so just knowing like what God has strengthened me and created me to do is what I'm going to walk into. And so on the 28th, we talked about how, okay, so now that you are going to pursue whatever's in front of you in a way that is like more bold and more accepting of who you are as a person, you now have to kind of learn that the opinions of others are not as important to you as the opinion of God upon you, okay? And what I mean by that is, okay, now I'm doing something that like I've never done before and I'm kind of skeeved out by it because it's like I'm switching up on people and I'm not doing something that's like new and unusual for me. And it's like, I don't want to do it because like people are like looking at me now. But like losing that for the prize, for the sight of, actually, no, this is like what God has for me. And if I do this in a way that is like authentic and faithful, then God is going to empower me through it. And so I don't have to worry about what people are saying to me because I'm pursuing and being faithful in what God has for me. And that's more important. Right, so that was kind of what we talked about on the 28th. And then what we talked about after that was you all as individuals toward each other can't be the people that they're worried about what someone's going to say about them. Right, that we toward each other can't be the kinds of people that are like, why are you like that? Why are you the way that you are? We can't be that to one another because that's not loving. That's not genuine. That's not sincere. And you certainly wouldn't want other people to be that way toward you. Right? And so as a fellowship community, as a community of believers who are hoping to pursue peace and edify one another, we're going to be able to build each other up in the ways that we're pursuing the things that God has for us. Does this all make sense? Is this all ringing bells? This is what we talked about 2 weeks ago. One of the things that my lovely wife pointed out to me is that I was in Romans 12. I was in Romans 12 during all this. And Romans 13 and Romans 14 and the start of Romans 15 are all also about this topic. So today, we're going to keep pulling the one another thread. Okay? There's a big old sweatshirt of this is a... There's a big old sweatshirt of sanctification, and there's a one another thread, and we're just going to pull it. We're just going to pull the thread, and we're going to see what unravels. Because it's vital to see yourself as something, as a part of something bigger than yourself. Right? It's very vital that you don't get like so wrapped up in like what I am and what I'm doing and what's important to me, but instead start thinking about yourself as like a part of something bigger. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the band Fleet Foxes, but they have a song about this. You're probably the only one in the whole room that knows who Fleet Foxes is. Not a big deal. But seeing yourself as something bigger than, or a part of something bigger than yourself. Part of like a movement, a part of a fellowship, a part of a community. From there, as you start to see yourself as a part of something bigger than you, there flows a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, a sense of hope for the future. But also, it helps you put the world into proper perspective. And so in terms of your walk of faith, that kind of mindset, that you're part of something bigger than yourself, that kind of mindset should produce in you patience and love for your peers and for your local church. Okay, So today, we're just straight up, we're just going to look at the whole chapter of Romans 14. We're going to start at verse 1, we're going to go to verse 23, and we're just going to riff the whole time. We're just going to shred. This is going to be a lot less of like a message, like a preachy message, and more of basically like a Bible study type thing. Okay? Where I'm just going to straight up, like, we're just going to go through Romans 14. Now you may be thinking, Tommy, I know you. And I would say, yeah, you probably know me. What's on your mind? And you would say, listen, a whole chapter in one morning, and we already started late. We talked about Wordle for the first 5 minutes. I don't think you're going to do it, Tommy. And to you, I would say, I think you're right. I think this is overzealous, but we're going to do it anyway because I think that the Lord has a lot in it. It's not a standard kind of message. Instead, we're just going to shred through the text. We're going to kind of annotate it with like how it applies to us, how it relates to what we've been talking about over the course of Snow Camp and since. And also, what kind of goals we can sort of set for ourselves this spring and this summer. So, we're in one another land today, and here's our outlook. Okay, here's our outlook. Walk in the Spirit. That's a directive, okay? An imperative, a command. Walk in the Spirit, and in doing so, support, love, and be patient with one another. Let's pray, and then let's get into the text. Father, it's good to be back. It's good to be back with these students and this fellowship and this ministry. I just thank you for this group. I pray that this morning you would show us new things out of your word, and that you would keep us on track. But Lord, that you would continue your work in making us what we are not yet. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so the first chunk is we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Let's read. Let's look at chapter 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Okay, what's that mean? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Other places, Paul says, put on the Spirit. Okay? What he means by this is walk in sort of a mindfulness of what the Spirit has for you. How Jesus Christ has changed you. Walk in like a mindfulness of it. Yeah? We're giving thumbs up, Jaden. Is that what we're doing now? It is what you preached on. That's right. That was so long ago. It was only like, what, six, like 5 weeks ago? I think snow camp melts my brain, is what I'm saying. But it is what we talked about. It is what we talked about having a mindset of Christ, having a mind change, and putting on Jesus Christ is exactly that. That you are walking with a mindfulness of what Jesus Christ is and what he did for you and how the Spirit is moving in you. Okay, that brings us to chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. So let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you? Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay, so that's the first chunk. It's the first chunk, and it's a lot. Paul's writing heaters here, okay? Verses 1 through 3, let's explain. Receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. You'll meet a lot of people in your life, especially at this point. You guys have all been going to youth group. You guys have all been paying so much attention on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights that you're just so smart, okay? Because I know you guys just like, you hear everything that I say and all the other leaders say, and you just remember all of them, and you do, like, you guys are just so smart.
Exactly.
You're going to meet a lot of people who just straight up know less about the Bible than you. Straight up. Just like people that you meet that are like, hey, I literally don't, I like have never read John. And you're thinking like, I've known John 3:16 my whole life. I don't have any memories of a life where I didn't have John 3:16 memorized. Okay, some of you church kids, it's like that. All right? And so you're going to run into someone who got saved at like 14, 15, who's like, what's a John 3:16? I've never heard of a John 3:16 before. And you're going to think, well, yeah, they're saved, but like, what am I supposed to do? And here's what it says here, right? What are you supposed to do to someone who is just like so new in their faith that they don't know what's going on? Receive, Caleb, receive. Receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. What does that mean? Okay, what's a doubtful thing? Let's say you are convinced. Okay, maybe you're not, but let's perhaps say that you are convinced that a Christian has to be homeschooled, right? A Christian who goes to public school is just like, it's just unfortunate, right? They should be going to homeschool. They should be, right? There are, now, I don't think that's like happening in this room, right? Whatever. But that happens. There are people who get in arguments about like, I think that if you go to public school, then by nature, like that's like a sinful thing because there's so many sinners. There's so many sinners in public school. Right? Now, what should you do if you disagree about a thing like that? Receive the one who is weak, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Means just live your life. And don't worry about the non-sin issues that are happening in someone else. Okay? The more knowledgeable person in this exchange, the person who knows more about their faith, this verse is telling you that whatever that thing is, that doubtful issue, it may just be a conviction that they have. Okay, they might just think, I think this is the right thing to do, and I just want to do the right thing. And that's just it. Right? We're going to see later, as a matter of fact, we see this in James, that if you think that something, like, if something just straight up doesn't sit right with you, and you're like, I can't convince myself that this is the right thing to do, then you just shouldn't do it. Right? If it's like a, if it's not like a straight up directive command from Scripture, I think I've said straight up, I think 9 times. If it's not a command from Scripture, straight up no cap, okay? If it's just a command from Scripture, then you should do it. But if it's not, if it's not a command from Scripture, if it's a matter of preference, if it's a matter of like preference, whatever, and you just can't convince yourself that it's the right thing to do, then James tells you, whoever knows to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. The opposite of that is also true. Whoever knows something that is wrong and still does it, to him it is sin. Okay, even if it's not like delineated as a sin, if you do something about which you were guilty going in, you were convicted going in and you still did it, to that person it is sin. Okay. So, you and a person disagree about it, about something, a preference. And you think, just calm down, it's not a sin, you should do it. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. Because to that person, their conviction is saying, I cannot in good conscience do this. So don't make him do it. Don't make him do it. What is your role? Is in verses 10 through 12. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Okay? You are responsible for your faith journey. I am not, I mean, okay, I am a little bit, but like, your best friend is not necessarily responsible for your faith journey. Whether or not you decide that you're going to be faithful and genuine in your pursuit of Christ, is not up to other people, it is up to you. And so, whether or not, like, there's like a debate or like a matter of preference in between you and someone else, is not your role to come in and swoop in. Okay, we've now talked about three verses. It is 11:45. Daylight savings has got me messed up. Let's rip it. Verses 10 through 12. If it's not a straight up sin issue that you'll lovingly rebuke them out of, then scripture says to just let them live. If it's not a sin issue that you will lovingly rebuke them out of, then scripture says to just let them live. Let them pursue their faith as they see fit. And if over time their maturity grows, if over time they move into a place where it's like, oh yeah, that's actually like literally not a big deal at all, and I'm just going to like move into this, then cool. Great. Because their faith is theirs to live. Your faith is yours to live. If there's something about like, listen, if you're a kind of person, and not one person in this room is this way, which is fine and cool, but if you're a kind of person who's like, I'm going to show up to church every Sunday in a tie because I feel like that's the right thing to do. I feel like it's the right thing to show up to church and dress the best way that I can in order to honor God with the way I present myself. That's not a command in Scripture. That's not a command in Scripture. There is no reason that you have to think from Scripture you have to show up to church in a tie. But there are some people who think, I want to honor God with the way I present myself. And to them, we just give a little clap. It's not a big deal. We do not say to them, dude, just like, wear a hoodie. Like, what's the big deal? And they'll say, I don't know, it's not a big deal, but I just don't want to do it. And we just clap. Because to them, it is wrong to not show up, dress nice. They feel a conviction in that way, and it's not a sin issue, and it affects not one other person. Then, in Jesus' name, mind your own business. Like, honestly. Romans 12:18, which we read 2 weeks ago, so much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So, if you start something just because, come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? There are some Christians that I will never rock with because they think that because it alters your mind state, caffeine is a drug and therefore is wrong for a Christian to consume. There are Christians who believe that. And to them I say, stay in your own building and let me live. In Jesus' name, honestly, because for them, there's a conviction about sober-mindedness, and they think that caffeine changes that. And to them, okay, I'll let you live. That's fine. You are honoring God in the things you do, things you say. Keep doing what you do. And you know what they don't do to me? They don't tell me, you sinner! They don't do that to me. They don't. I will give an account to God for my life. Someday, I will see Jesus at a gate, and I will give an account to him for my life. And I will say, I don't think caffeine, I don't think that I consumed caffeine sinfully. And I'll say that, and I'll hear what I hear. He'll say to me what he says to me. But in good conscience and in good faith, I don't have a conviction about it. There are some people who do. And they will say to God, I had a conviction about this, so I didn't do it. And God will say, okay. And to me, I think God will say, okay. Because the important part was that the decision was made in good faith. This is how we ought to approach our community of believers. Okay? So a lot of this so far has been about preference. But in general, as you see other people in this ministry try to branch out and hopefully move into and pursue the will of God for their life, as they do something that maybe you don't really super rock with, let them live. Let them pursue the Lord in the way that they see fit. And like, mind your own business in Jesus' name. If you have a chance to preserve harmony, then do it. Let's move on to verses 13 through 23. It's a drop. That was crazy. Hey, yo.
Yeah, really hit him with the clap back.
Wow. Yo, imagine. In all the times I've had coffee up here, that's never happened. All right. Romans. The timing is bad on that. I have to agree. The timing on that is rough. 13 through 23. I need a tissue. Let's do this one. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know... Dude, there's straight up coffee in this napkin. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. This is actually big. Let's reel it in, guys. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay, so that's just a recap of what we've already been talking about. So, like, if something seems unclean to you, or you are convicted about it, or it seems like doing this thing would be sinful for you to do, then guess what? It is. It is. If your conscience sears against you, that's like some of the verbiage that's used in places like James. If your conscience sears against you, and you still do the thing, then you have sinned against your conscience, and sinned against God. Because where does your conscience come from? From God. See? So see how this all kind of relates now. Okay, so if you sin against your conscience is there because God gave it to you, then you're sinning against God. Okay? So if something is unclean to you and you still do it, then in that way you have sinned. But Paul is saying here, I know that there is nothing unclean of itself. Okay. Okay. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. This is cool, okay? If your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Okay, so let's talk about the caffeine example again. Some people, let's say they're, I don't know, from... I'm not going to say a place. I'm already in bad spirits with them. Some people don't like caffeine, and I'm just like ripping back espresso with them. I got this new Pantone espresso set. It's really cool. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I got this new thing. I whip it out. I'm making coffee with them. And now I'm putting them in a position where they're convicted about what I'm drinking. So now they have this like conscience issue this whole time that we would otherwise be fellowshipping. And in that way, by not having a mindfulness of what they're doing and what they're like convicted of, and not having a mindset of love and support and edification toward them, I am now putting them in a place where they are prone to sin against their conscience and sin against God. Okay? There are some people who, like, this is much more common, don't want to listen to any swear words in their music. But they're in your car, and you're not convicted by that. You listen to that song with them in the car, and you now put them in a situation where they're prone to sin. Right? So having a mindfulness of how we ought to be moving one another toward the will of God for one another, we have to be mindful too of where people stand in terms of where we're at in faith. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Love that. Do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. So this is cool. This is a cool verse. The one who does these things, okay? The one who serves Christ in these things. Okay, you are mindful of the conscience and convictions of the people around you. You are, in Jesus' name, you're minding your own business. You are pursuing the will of God in your life. You are pursuing peace and edification in your fellowship. This person is acceptable to God. This is sick. Love being acceptable to God. It's one of my favorite things. And approved by men. Approved by people. Okay, so we were talking last week about, like, don't worry about what people think about you. Literally, like, work on and pray about having God's voice and God's opinion of you stand in higher regard than anybody else's. Okay? But if you pursue Christ in this way and serve Christ in these things, you are both acceptable to God and approved by men. People will be fine with you. People will approve of you. There's this guy. His name is Diogenes. He was living in the first century AD when Christians were persecuted. But Christians were like, they were doing this whole underground thing where they were doing like the fish, the one they put in the back of the cars. And they were like this underground movement. And this guy Diogenes writes about Christians. And it's like this whole long thing. But he says, they are a people with no nation, they are a people with no land, but they are a people that you cannot escape their goodness. And there are people about whom those who hate them, they cannot find a reason why. That's cool. That's cool. That even though I don't like you as a Christian, right? Even though this guy, he's like, I just can't stand those Christians. Well, why not? Because, right? So that's how it was back then. Those who pursue Christ in these things are approved by men and acceptable to God. Love that. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things which one may edify another. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Promote peace, edify one another, case closed. This is a great way to summarize your responsibility to one another. Matter of fact, I don't know, we should just get a sign that says, pursue peace, edify one another. Because that's like everything you've got to do. It's all in this little box, and it says, pursue peace, edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of caffeine. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of homeschool. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of preference. Do not destroy the work of God because you and someone else just can't, like, agree on something. Don't destroy the work of God because you just, like, there's something about them that bothers you. Don't destroy the work of God implies that by being sour toward one another, we can destroy the work of God. That's the implication, right? That the work of God, not in this whole world, but in our community, in our fellowship, that the work of God is something that we have to maintain. That's the implication. Do not destroy it means that if we aren't mindful, it will crumble. Because your disdain towards someone else, or your ill will toward other people, or your lack of pursuing of peace and edification in other people your inability to do all those things and your decision not to do those things will cause the work of God to crumble in the lives of other people. If you don't think so, then I certainly know of some people in my life, in my past, who crumbled and the work of God in their life basically stopped because people around them didn't pursue peace, didn't edify them. A lot of people who've come up through this youth ministry who are now nowhere to be found because not only did they not edify others and pursue peace with others, but people didn't pursue peace with them and didn't edify them. It happens. Straight up happens. So our responsibility to one another is to pursue peace and edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. But do you have faith? Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. All right. So 22, what does that mean? Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. That means, in other words, shout out to whoever can walk this life with this mindset. I will simply avoid doing morally questionable things. That's what that verse is saying. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So imagine I approve of. This might be a bridge too far for a Sunday morning, but I'm going to send it. I approve of watching HBO's Euphoria. Now, I don't. Disclaimer, I don't. But imagine I did. I would be condemning myself in what I approve. Because that show is bad, right? I would be condemning myself in what I approve. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So, shout out to the person who can walk this life with a clear conscience. The clear conscience and say, I am not promoting or supporting anything that is otherwise morally questionable to me. Imagine I was, deep down, the kind of person who was convicted about caffeine. And I still drank the amount of caffeine that I drink. You would say, okay, so then what do you even, like, believe in then? Because clearly, if that's like how you feel, but you're still doing the, then what is the, what's your angle? Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. It's a classic case of like, like draw the rest of the owl. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that joke. Where I'm just telling you, oh yeah, simply like do this, you know, just what if, have you considered just following everything the Bible says? Like, what if you just tried that, right? And I know that I do that sometimes because that's just like how my brain is wired and it's not always super helpful. But also, unfortunately, this is about as simple as this command can get. This is almost its most reducible form. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Pray that the Lord would strengthen you to abstain from doing things that you aren't proud of. Okay, all the times that you look back, even if it's like, I'm thinking about like yesterday, right? If this is you, and you're thinking about like, I did something yesterday that I'm just like pretty upset with about myself. Like, I'm really upset with myself that I did this thing. Pray that the Lord would strengthen you to stop doing that. Because happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Happy is he who can walk this life with a clear conscience. Part of that starts with confessing your sins and having a mindset that like, okay, I sinned against the Lord. I should like tell him. But also, pray that the Lord would help you move away from those behaviors. It's all summed up here. The bow is tied in verse 23. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Okay, so you're making a decision. You're making a decision, and you're half in, half out. And you're like, I think that the Lord is really working on me to like move and try to do like praise band type of stuff. But even though I think that's what I should do, I'm not going to do it. Did that proceed from faith? Did that proceed from faith? No? Dang. Oh, that stinks. I got bad news. Didn't proceed from faith. It's sin. It's tough. Walking in the Spirit and pursuing that kind of renewal of mind and embracing the work of the Spirit upon you to change your desires, doing all that, walking in the Spirit, it allows you to step into things with faith. It allows you to step into things with boldness. It allows you to step into things with confidence that God has actually empowered you to do the thing that you're about to do. And if faith through the Spirit approves of your decisions, then I'm telling you now, you're set. You're golden. If the Spirit approves the decision, if you feel the Spirit confirm the decision you're about to make, you're good. But if you move into something and you are like, okay, the Spirit wanted me to go that way, but shout out to my guy Jonah, I'm just like not gonna do it. Sorry. We have a story about that. Guess where Jonah ended up? I was telling you guys about Jonah. Jonah literally ends up in Nineveh, preaches the worst sermon of all time. Like the worst sermon of all time. It stinks, okay? Think about a guy like Noah who stood outside of his boat for like 100+ years. How many years was Noah building the boat? I should know this, but he was building that thing for a long time. People are like, Noah, what's this boat for? There's not even an ocean nearby. He's like, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. God said it's gonna rain. All you have to do is repent. And they're like, ha! Noah, you fool. And no one listens to him except his sons, okay? His wife and his kids and his kids-in-law. That's it. That's all the people on Noah's boat. Meanwhile, Jonah goes into Nineveh. He goes into Nineveh and says, kingdom of God's at hand. Repent. And they're like, you couldn't have said it better. Everyone in Nineveh then turns to the Lord. And Jonah goes. He leaves Nineveh. He ends up under a tree. And he says, Lord, just kill me. Honestly, just kill me. Because you saved these people who were not worth saving. And God's like, dude, who are you? Who are you to say these things? I will save who I will save. That's the story of Jonah. Okay? A guy who could not have been more begrudging in the way that he did the things that God ultimately had him to do. He moved into the things ahead of him with about as little faith as you could. But because God affirmed the things that he was doing, they were nuts. Okay? So if you can be, like, imagine you're 10% more faithful to the thing that you're about to do than Jonah was. Okay? You're just like, let me, just 10% of faith. If God affirms it, it will happen. But if you do not move forward in faith, you're going to miss the wagon. If faith through the Spirit approves your decision, then you're golden. So, it's now 12:15 about. Like I said, this wasn't much in the way of like a message, so much as it was like a Bible study, but it is vital that we look at this text. It is vital that we look at Romans 14 to unpack the themes of patience and love and edification and understanding with one another. Because I have a vision of you all becoming adults and walking into the things that God has laid out before you. And if we get there, world's in trouble. World's done. We win a 7-game series 4-0. That's all I'm saying. We could get dangerous. But until we get there, walk in the Spirit, and in doing so, support, love, and be patient with one another. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time that we had together. Thank you that we can laugh together. I'm just so thankful for the things that you're doing in these students. I pray that we would learn to be patient. We would pursue peace. We would pursue edification with one another. Lord, that we would just be a ministry that is defined by our love and support for one another. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we go. Pray that you would bring lots of people to connect this Saturday. Allow us to have a great time fellowshipping. But Lord, I pray that this week you would continue to make us what we are not yet. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.